Well, good morning once again. I'm excited to be with you, and I'm excited to share this message with you this morning. On this Candidate Sunday, as we make decisions about the future of this church, I want to talk to you about straining towards the goal, straining towards the goal. Paul talks about this here in verses 12 through 16. And we too, as a church, we are moving forward. We are pressing forward to the goal. We are moving ahead. And indeed, everyone in life is moving ahead. Like, there's no neutrality. Everyone's moving ahead towards something. You can't just go through life and go through it neutrally. Everyone is moving to an end of some kind. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 14 talk about the wide gate and the narrow gate. The wide gate, many travel this road, and many find it, and it's an easy road, it's well paved. Many find it, but the end is destruction. The end is separation from God, and it's an eternity in hell separated from Him. Like, the end is destruction. And then there's a narrow gate, and Jesus says, few find this gate. Few enter by it. And you know what? It's a hard road. It's totally against the grain of everything that we see in the world. But yeah, this is the way that leads to life abundant. And it's exciting. And it's life-giving. And this, as a church, is what we are pressing forward to. Like, if you are a Christian today gathered here, you are on the narrow way. And we are pressing forward to the goal. Right? We're not just sitting back and kind of idly going through life, but we are actually pressing forward to the goal. And so I want to talk to you today about what that goal is, because I think it's really important. There is essentially one goal, one call for the church. I want to talk to you about that this morning on this Candidating Sunday. So while there are many goals and endeavors that people follow, right? Some people might follow the goal of career, like if I can just get that next career, I'll be fulfilled. If I can get that next house, I'll be fulfilled. If I can be successful in life, or if people will remember my name, that might be a goal. And in the church, there might be all kinds of goals too, all kinds of endeavors and goals. So while there are many goals and endeavors, even in the church, there is one goal, one call to be straining for. This is the call of God in Christ Jesus. So as the church, we strain towards this call of God in Christ Jesus, and I want to talk to you about this call this morning. So there is three things that Christians know and are aware of as they press forward to the goal. They know their condition, they know their race, they know their helper. These three things are crucial, and I want to talk to you about them today. So number one, we are aware of our condition. This comes from verses 12 through first half of 13 in Philippians 3, if you're following along. It says, not that I've already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. So here's what floors me about Christianity. Here's what floors me about following Jesus Christ. It is the only thing that I am aware of that you actually acknowledge your true condition. See, if I'm working towards career, I look to my own strength. If I'm working towards being successful, I look to my own strength. Other religions look to their own strength and their own ability to put their bootstraps up. But here's the deal with Christianity. Here's the deal with following Jesus. As we embark on this race, as we press forward to the goal, which is Jesus Christ and the call that we have through Him, we first of all acknowledge our condition. Christians do not shy away from the fact that they are weak and they are not perfect. Furthermore, They actually embrace this fact. Like we as Christians, we embrace that we are weak, we are not strong, we are sinful, we are fallen. And I'm not saying that you camp out there and you scourge yourself and punish yourself and you say, woe is me, look at how horrible I am. But Christians acknowledge their true condition as they embark on the race that is set before them. Even Paul says this. Like, Paul is what I would consider a super apostle, planted many churches. He himself, through the power of the Holy Spirit, the gospel spread throughout essentially the world. I love how my dad in a few messages earlier said, if it had not been for Paul, would we be here? See, the gospel spread through Turkey, the Middle East, and beyond. And now we're here. And even Paul is saying, hey, I have not already obtained the goal. I am not already perfect. But I press on to make it my own. That is, I press on to make Christ Jesus my own. And get this, I consider that I've made my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. So we do not have the strength, we do not have the condition to make Jesus Christ our own by our own works. It is Christ Jesus who makes us our own, and it says so in the text. Like Paul, even though he has done many good works and many amazing missionary trips and journeys, he is saying, I do not consider that I've made this thing my own, the things of Jesus. Rather, he's made me his own. And so the beautiful thing about Christianity is this. Those who are weak and those who acknowledge that they don't have the ability to run the race on their own, or the very people that run the race well. They run the race well. If you acknowledge your condition and say, it's like, hey, we're weak. I'm standing up here. I'm weak. I'm sinful. I'm broken. But you know what? Jesus Christ has made me his own, and I believe that with all my heart. And I know you guys do too. And so that's amazing. Because we're not setting forth on this race, we're not setting forth in the next few years in our own strength. Rather, we're acknowledging our condition and saying, hey, we are weak, but you know what? Jesus Christ has made me his own. He's made this church his own. We have not somehow made Jesus Christ our own, but he has adopted us as sons and daughters. Like, adopted us. That word adoption, we think about that in our context now, adopting kids who are in trouble, adopting kids without a family. That's what he's did with us. He adopted us into his family. So Jesus Christ has made us his own, not the other way around. And as I think about running the race, as I think of going forward, I remember my days in track. I many times got last place. It didn't matter if it was district, regionals, or just a little event in Medicine Lodge, Kansas, 1,500 people on the Oklahoma-Kansas border. But I tried many things. I trained hard, and I just remember one year I was convinced that it was my shoes. I was like, these shoes are so heavy. And so I bought some shoes that literally weighed, they weighed a little bit, but they didn't weigh much. And I was like, I'm going to put the spikes on those things. I'm going to fly. And I just remember on the 800 meter, I was just giving it all I had, and people were zooming past me. And I can still remember. It's like, I can't believe how slow I am. This is unreal. I'm trying so hard, and I'm so slow. But like, friends, brothers and sisters, get this. In Christianity, it's not that way. Right? Because Jesus Christ has made us his own. So even though we are weak and we can't run the race on our own power, and we're can strive all we want, rather, even Paul's saying, I know my condition, I know that I'm not already perfect, but hey, like, I'm getting there, and I'm running this race because Jesus Christ has made me his own. Point number two, our race. We know our condition, first of all. Like, before we run this race, period, before we strain toward the call that we have in Jesus Christ, it is very essential that we know our condition, okay? And so once we know our condition, we can know our race that we're on. And I'm reading from Philippians chapter 3, last part of verse 13 and then 14. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So get this. We are not straining toward a man-made goal. Like many times I make goals for myself and they are man-made. But here's what he is saying. It's not a man-made goal, but it's a person that we strive for. And it's Jesus Christ, and it's the call that we have through him. And I want to flesh this out a little bit. I don't believe we can really know what he's talking about here unless if we go to the verses prior to this. I think this really helps. And so I want to read to you from, again, it's chapter 3, and it's going to be verses 3 through 11. Because Paul is talking about, hey, I'm forgetting what lies behind, and I'm pressing forward to what lies ahead. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about what is he forgetting, what is he leaving behind, and what's he pressing forward to. And the verses before this help us out so much with this. And so I want to read to you here. Starting in verse 3 of chapter 3, for we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have confidence for confidence in the flesh also, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ, and to be found in him. For his sake I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness that my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. So there's a lot going on here, but I really want to unpack it because it's important. And so first off, on this race, as we strain toward the goal, as we strain toward the call that we have in Jesus Christ, as we run forward to this, we forget what is behind. And for Paul, here's what he's leaving behind. His former life as a Pharisee, his former life as a Jew, he himself says is like, hey, like I followed these rules and regulations and I was blameless. And I was a Hebrew of Hebrews, of the tribe of Benjamin. And so these are his credentials that he had as a Jew. And prior to meeting Jesus, here's what he's doing. He's saying, hey, by the things I do, by the how closely I follow the law, God is pleased with me, and I am in a relationship with him. But then he encounters Jesus on the road to Damascus. And here's what he says now. He's like, hey, all those former things, the righteousness under the law, how I was blameless, how I was a Hebrew of Hebrews, my old identity, my old ways, how I used to persecute Christians, how I used to find my righteousness in the law and not Jesus Christ. Now I forget these things, and I count them all as rubbish. And in the Greek, rubbish is not too nice of a word, but that's how the English translate it, because he wants to make an extreme point. I count it as garbage. My own righteousness, my old ways, I count them as rubbish, as trash. And I was in a very similar place. I don't know where this finds you right now, but I can relate to Paul. I remember a time where I found my righteousness in the things I did. And the better I did, the better I felt with God. And the worse I did, the worse I felt with God. All right, so I looked to my own exterior behavior and the things I did so I could remember thinking about, here's the things I'm doing for God. Here's the things I'm not doing. Here's the rules that I'm following. And like, that's all important. Like, there are rules, regulations, and there is the Christian life to follow. But here's like what I was doing. I was doing it in my own power. I didn't realize my condition. And so that led me further and further and further away from the Lord. Then I remember in Wichita, Kansas, I had a mentor named Dale Huntington. He was a worship pastor in Wichita, Kansas. And he sat me down and he pointed this out to me. And he offered Jesus as an alternative. Because he says, like, hey, like, you might think you're off pretty good off, but the reality is you're on the same playing field as anyone else. You're sinful. You need a Savior. You need Jesus Christ. And so from then on, I forget all about that. I move on and I forget what lies behind. And I press forward to Jesus. Because after I met Jesus and after I encountered him in that way, after I knew that he was the righteousness that I could never do on my own, that stuff is worthless behind me. And I don't know where this finds you today. People involved with drugs and alcohol, right? After they meet Jesus, they say, like, I count that as rubbish now. I leave it because Jesus is the thing. Whatever you might think, whatever you may be, whether you're like me and you try to find the righteousness that from your own strength, or if it's the other way and you're indulging in very external sinful behaviors, it's the both and. Both are on an equal playing field and both people need Jesus. And so that's what Paul was saying. I used to find my righteousness through the law and what I did, but now I press forward to the prize. And here's the prize, verse 9. And to gain Christ and to be found in him and to have a righteousness that comes from him, not my own, through faith in Christ, that I might know him in the power of his resurrection, that I might share in his sufferings, that I might become like him in his death, and that I might, by any means possible, attain to the resurrection of the dead. So the resurrection of the dead meaning, hey, one day I will be raised to life as an eternal being. We press forward to those things. So get this, there's the things of Jesus, period. We seek to know him. We seek to gain him. We seek to attain the righteousness that we have through him. And get this, like anything that distracts from this, anything that distracts us from knowing Jesus as he is, by knowing the power of his resurrection, so knowing what happened when he was risen from the dead, knowing what happened when he died, so he took our punishment in our place. Like, he took Tim Ferriss's punishment so I wouldn't have to pay for it because I'm guilty as charged. If anything distracts us from this goal, it is rubbish and it is trash. We have to press on to the things of Jesus. We have to press on to knowing Jesus Christ. We have to press on to share in his sufferings. We have to press on to his righteousness. Anything that hinders us is garbage in comparison. Because here's the deal. Knowing Jesus Christ, knowing his work on the cross for you, knowing the salvation that you have through his sacrifice, knowing that he took on your sin and my sin, knowing that he took that punishment, there is nothing worth more and nothing that can compare to this. And as a church, as a body of Christ, this is the thing that we press forward to, the call of God in Christ Jesus. This is our race. Number three, our helper. So we have our condition. So we already know, as Paul knew, that, hey, he's not perfect. I'm not standing before you perfect by any means. We know our condition, and we know our race, which is straining forward to the call of God and Jesus. And then we know our helper. And this comes from verses 15 and 16 from chapter 3. Let those who are mature think this way, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. So here's the deal. Like, in our race, as we press forward to Jesus Christ. We press forward to the reality that we are going to be eternal beings with Him, ruling and reigning. We know that God alone equips, God alone enables, and God alone empowers us. God alone enables us to run this race, because it is not I and it is not you, but it's Jesus Christ who lives through you. It's not me, it's not you that paid for your sins, it's Jesus Christ. He's the one that enables you to run this race. He's the one that equips you to run this race. He's the one that equips you for every good work to walk in. Equip you for the work of ministry. He alone is the one that empowers you as a church and as a people to run the race. That is so cool. And like, get this. Some people claim that God is dead. Some people claim that Jesus was simply a human being, that he never claimed to be God, and that he is not alive and well today. And I'm standing before you here with 110% confidence and certainty that he is alive. And we believe this as a church. Like, we actually believe that he is alive and well. We actually believe that by the power of his Holy Spirit that he's here with us now. We actually know and believe that he answers prayer. We know and believe that he continues to save people. He seeks and saves that which was lost. And we believe that through the power of the Holy Spirit, this church has a grand future. Why? Not because we are so great, not because I am so great, but because he is great. He is our great helper. And so we run the race with confidence through our Christ Jesus. We run this race with confidence. And like, here's the deal. Here's how he helps us. And this is true for everyone here, and it's true for me. Paul says, let those of us who are mature think this way. And so what he's saying is, let those who are mature run to Jesus. Let those who are mature run to the things of Jesus. Let those who are mature get to know him more. Share in his sufferings. Like, we don't graduate from Jesus. I used to have the attitude that it's like, oh, this gospel thing, the good news of Jesus Christ is great, but can we move on? We don't graduate from this. Paul didn't graduate from this. And when Jesus revealed himself to me in a real way, my senior year of high school, all of a sudden I was like, my goodness, there is no getting to the deepest depth of this reality that Christ Jesus has. There is no getting to the depths of his work that he's done on the cross. Not possible. I'll spend my whole life, and then in eternity, I will be glorying in that. We don't move on from Jesus. We don't graduate from him. And here's what Paul's saying, verse 15, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. So everyone here wanders. I wander. We wander and we stray. Like, the Bible counts us as sheep. Sheep wander. The shepherd brings them back. So when we wander and when I wander, here's what Paul is saying. God will reveal that to you. And he will bring you back to the place of knowing Jesus Christ. Knowing him crucified and resurrected. And we hold fast to what we obtained, verse 16, only let us hold fast to what we know is true and to what we have attained. Because Christ Jesus has made us his own. We have placed our faith in him for the salvation of our sins, not in us at all. We don't add anything to it. We don't contribute to that place where we went from death to life, and we also don't contribute to our ongoing sanctification. And sanctification is a big word for saying the process of us becoming more and more like Jesus. We hold fast to what we obtained through the gospel. Grandview Covenant Church, if I am called to be your pastor, this is of utmost priority for me. Pointing you in the way of Jesus Christ. Reminding you of the goal that we have in Jesus Christ. pressing forward on this race to the upward call that we have in Christ Jesus. Seeing people know Jesus Christ more. Seeing people who had not known him know him. Seeing people here know his crucifixion as his resurrection. This is his utmost priority for me. And that's the direction I will lead if I call as pastor. Because I know that I am weak and I'm not perfect. Paul says the same. But I serve a risen Savior that is able, that is perfect, and that he is alive. He's here with us, and he empowers us on our journey. I was listening to a song on the way to church this morning. I really like Keith and Kristen Getty. They are modern day hymn writers. And I was listening to a song about the Holy Spirit. And here's what one of the lyrics was. Turn my strivings into works of grace, breath of God, show Christ in all that I do. Turn my strivings into works of grace, breath of God, show Christ in all I do. Grandview Covenant Church, as you move forward, rest assured in that as you embark, as you continue on your race, that is not strivings, but it's works of grace. The Holy Spirit does this. He turns our works and our strivings, and he turned my works and my strivings, my attempts to measure up, and he turns them into works of grace. So we do have works that are prepared for us. We don't just sit around and do whatever we want, but they're works of grace. We experience his grace, because when we're not perfect, he's perfect. And the breath of God, the Holy Spirit of God, shows Christ in all that we do. So if you're here this morning, I invite you to strain towards Jesus Christ. As Paul says, strain towards knowing him. Strain towards being like him. Strain to him when you need help. And by the way, that's pretty much always. Strain to him for help. And he who is faithful will indeed be your helper, and indeed your salvation, and indeed your direction. Amen.